It's 13 minutes to 7. Now, let's look at some papers abroad. We're going to Ukraine this morning. And Helen Fawkes. Helen, hello.
Good morning. Well, surprisingly, only two papers are published in the capital today. But this is usual for a Monday, even if it's the day after one of the most tense elections in years. But they were printed before the counting started. The pro-Russian Prime Minister, Viktor Yanukovych, is narrowly ahead of the opposition leader, Viktor Yushchenko, in the race to become Ukraine's next president. Starting with the Russian language Sogodnya, its front page headline says it didn't pass without violence. It reveals that a policeman at one polling station was killed, another was beaten, and a third was tied up. In some places, ballot papers disappeared. Most of the front page is taken up with a big map, with the main violations reported right across the country. For example, in the pro-opposition city of Lviv, close to the Polish border, a 75-year-old grandmother was seen to have 20 passports on her, so she was able to have 20 votes. Well, there were claims that in Kiev, voters had been offered around £6 apiece to leave polling stations with unused ballots. In spite of the seriousness of the violations, the paper concludes that most problems happened because people were tired after a long and dirty campaign, but says whatever the result, Ukrainians will be glad to have it. In Kyivsky Veremisti, also a pro-government Russian language paper, it has the headline, "The national choice is over, but the personal choice continues." Underneath, it has a photo covering most of the front page, showing a young couple embracing. The man is wearing a blue and white scarf, a sign of his support for the Prime Minister, while the object of his affections sports an orange scarf, the colour of the opposition candidate. The front page is graced by a quote from the outgoing President, Leonid Kuchma, taken from his pre-election television address. Appearing in bold red letters, it reads, "Revolutions are planned by dreamers, carried out by fanatics, and misused by criminals." The online newspaper of Ukrainska Pravda, which is pro-opposition, shows lots of graphs which compares the Central Election Commission results, which still shows both candidates neck and neck with the estimates by both campaign headquarters, which predictably put their candidate out in front. Ukrainska Pravda also looks at how the British papers are covering the election. It claims the British media is expecting a revolution in Ukraine. And that's the way the media is looking in Kiev.
The pro-Western opposition candidate in Ukraine's presidential election has accused the authorities of falsifying the results, and he's called on his supporters to hold peaceful street protests. With about 70% of votes counted, the Electoral Commission says the Prime Minister, Viktor Yanukovych, who favours closer ties with Russia, has a slight lead. Helen Fawkes reports from Kiev.
Just over 1% separates the two candidates in the second and final round of the presidential race. The latest figures give the Prime Minister, Viktor Yanukovych, nearly 49% and the opposition leader, Viktor Yushchenko, almost 47.5%. But Mr. Yushchenko says he's the winner, alleging the election has been rigged. It's been revealed that almost 80% of those eligible to vote cast their ballot. In parts of eastern Ukraine, a stronghold of Mr. Yanukovych, its claimed turnout was as high as 96%. Last night, tens of thousands of opposition supporters gathered in the capital's main square to demand a fair count of the vote. The opposition has called for more protests today. Kiev remains on high alert because of fears there may be violence.
The Ukrainian pro-Western opposition leader in the country's presidential election, Viktor Yushchenko, has said the authorities have rigged the vote. With three-quarters of the votes counted, the pro-Moscow Prime Minister Viktor Yanukovych has a 1% lead over his rival. But several exit polls have suggested that Mr. Yushchenko is ahead.
Comparisons are being made between the overnight protests in the Ukraine and the popular mass protests in Georgia a year ago, which eventually drove Georgian President Eduard Shevardnadze from office after a fraudulent parliamentary election there. Tens of thousands of supporters of the opposition leader Viktor Yushchenko packed into Kiev last night to denounce alleged fraud in the Ukrainian presidential elections. The parliament's expected to hold an emergency debate on the crisis later today. International observers monitoring the elections have condemned the process. Geert Arends heads the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe in Kiev.
The election did not meet a considerable number of OSCE, Council of Europe and other European standards for democratic elections. For example, when you have an uneven playing field, during the pre-election campaign, you had here a heavy bias of the state media in favor of the prime minister, who is one of the candidates, Yanukovych. You had the use of administrative resources in favor of Mr. Yanukovych. you had pressure exerted by certain public structures. And then election day itself, of course, we still have to study in detail what has come in, but there's quite a bit of strange things.
But Valery Konovalyuk, spokesman for the Prime Minister Viktor Yanukovych, denounced the decision of protesters to take to the streets.
If there are violations, complaints, or some other things, it is necessary to go to court and defend your opinion and truth there, not in the squares. Democracy is not carried out in the squares.
Lanjari now on the line by Boris Tarasuk. He's a former Ukrainian foreign minister and now an opposition MP. He chairs the Ukrainian Parliament's European Integration Committee, and he's a member of the coordinating committee for the opposition leader Viktor Yushchenko's coalition Power of the People. Let me ask you, first of all, we know that the election monitors have criticised this result. There's been strong international reaction. But in the end, what can you do about it? The result's been declared.
Well, today we initiated a meeting of the parliament to consider the activity of the Central Election Commission as biased and contrary to the law. So we will demand the disbandment of this commission and the appointment of a new one. We do not recognize the results the commission is leading the country to. And in case the commission will announce, Prime Minister Yanukovych as the winner, not only us, the opposition, do not recognize this decision, but the people of Ukraine. Today we have in Kyiv people gathered, hundreds of thousands of people, not dozens of thousands, but hundreds of thousands of people, and people are arriving every hour from different regions of Ukraine. So we may expect half a million people or even more during the day.
But what evidence does he have to back his claim that he's won? If you look at the results across the country, then Mr. Yanukovych was found to be the victor.
Well, Mr. Yanukovych's team, the authorities, and the Central Election Commission are complicit to this mass fraud. We do claim that results in two eastern regions should be announced invalid because...
Do you have evidence of fraud?
Pardon me?
Do you have evidence of fraud?
Hundreds of them, even thousands of the evidence. And this is not only our position. This is the position of international observers, different groups of international observers. And one of them, you heard the conclusion made by the leader of the OSCE, International Observers Group. They were actually kicking out our representatives, members of the polling stations commissions from these regions in the east. They were artificially, pumping up the turnout in those polling stations in the east, saying that 100, even that high, that 104% participated in the vote, which is sadly, the results of a fraud.
Okay. How far are you prepared to take your campaign to get the result overturned? For example, would you sanction violence or mass protests?
Yesterday, the leaders of the coalition who are supporting Viktor Yushchenko announced announce the campaign of civilian disobedience and non-violent struggle for the recognition of the true results of the election. And according to this appeal sent at the address of the parliaments and the people of the world, they are announcing that they are assuming the responsibility and supporting the will of the people. They recognize the victory of Viktor Yushchenko at the presidential elections, and they are appealing to the parliaments of the and the people of the world to support new president of Ukraine, Viktor Yushchenko, as the Ukrainian people did it.
Do you look to the example of what happened in Georgia exactly a year ago? There were mass demonstrations there. They eventually drove the Georgian president from office after a fraudulent parliamentary election there.
The situation seemed to be different from that in Georgia. But currently, these days, the situation seemed to repeat, the Georgian example, because both in Georgia and in Ukraine, the authorities seem to announce the fraud, falsified results of the elections, which is certainly far from the reality.
Can I just ask you one very quick final question? Are you prepared to jeopardize relations with President Putin and Russia?
Well, not in a single instance. Viktor Yushchenko, as the leader of the coalition and actually the president of Ukraine, never said anything negative about the relationship between Ukraine and Russia. He was always insisting on keeping a normal, fruitful relationship with Russia, and this is his principal position. Certainly, this was a mistake on the part of President of Russia to announce Viktor Yanukovych as the winner. But this is not the first mistake Russian president has made. In 2002 also, Russia has put on the forces who lost the parliamentary elections.
Okay. Boris Tarasuk, thank you very much for joining us.
A picture of an angry voter with clenched fists outstretched illustrates the Ukraine presidential election in the FT and The Guardian. The man is one of many thousands of supporters of the opposition candidate, Viktor Yushchenko, who believe the poll has been fixed. The Times says in a leader that it's too early to declare the result clearly fraudulent, but it certainly appears flawed. The paper says the scene is set for a bloody confrontation with repercussions across Europe.
21 minutes to 7. There's talk of civil war in the Ukraine and a third night of protests as opposition leaders call for a nationwide strike following the presidential elections there. Jonathan Charles is in Kiev. Jonathan, how serious are these talks, warnings of civil war?
Well, Carolyn, both sides are giving these warnings, saying that there is a serious risk of civil conflict. And in fact, the outgoing president, Leonid Kuchma, said it reminded him the danger of what happened in the beginning of the last century when after the Russian Revolution, there was intense trouble between those people who were for and after the revolution, and the country was split. He worried there could be a civil war along those lines. Now, I have to say, at the moment, it feels relatively calm here, and that's because both sides are aware this certainly is a tinderbox. It has the possibility of exploding, and both sides wish to go to great lengths to avoid that. Then neither side is saying that force is the solution. The opposition in particular continue to say they want a peaceful solution, although they believe that the key continues to be the voice of the people, these mass protests on the street.
Vladimir Putin is arriving in the Netherlands today for a Russia-EU summit. That could be quite interesting, couldn't it?
Yes, I think he's going to come under immense pressure. You have to remember, of course, it was he who very swiftly on Sunday night rang Viktor Yanukovych, the man who's now said to have been the official winner of last Sunday's vote, to congratulate him even before the Electoral Commission had actually reported the results. So he ran in very swiftly to give his backing to the pro-Russian government here. He believes, of course, that it's in Russia's best interest to have Mr. Yanukovych in power here. Since then, he's backtracked slightly, talked about legal processes, but he will clearly come under pressure from the European Union, who believe that he is in a position to put pressure on Mr. Yanukovych to step down, to relinquish power, or perhaps indeed to step aside to allow a rerun of the election.
Jonathan Charles in Kiev, thank you.
Is it any other country's business what happens in Ukraine? The West has criticised Russia for intervening in the disputed presidential election. But President Putin has now stepped back, or claims to have stepped back, and he says it's up to Ukraine's courts to decide and outsiders should stop interfering. That's not stopped the EU. Today, its foreign policy chief, Javier Solana, will go to Kiev to try to negotiate some sort of solution. And some Ukrainians complain that that will distort democracy. Thousands of demonstrators spent a fourth night on the streets of the capital last night. Our correspondent Sarah Rainsford was with them.
Lech Walesa strides onto stage in Kiev. greeted as a visiting hero. The former Polish president came to conduct talks with both sides in this continuing standoff, but his personal sympathies were clear. I'm gripped with your emotions and your striving for freedom, he told the masses on Independence Square. I believe this will result in your victory. Valenza's words of solidarity were lapped up by pro-opposition crowds here. But all talk of triumph for their candidate is dismissed by those backing his rival, Viktor Yanukovych. Kiev is an opposition stronghold, but more and more Yanukovych supporters have taken to the streets as this crisis builds. Most are coal miners from the industrial east of Ukraine, who say the opposition is trying to rob them of their vote.
We don't want violence or bloodshed. We just want to be sure this election is honest.
This can only end in victory for Yanukovych. He has already won. Declaring Yushchenko as president would be like staging a coup.
All my life, I thought that the West is where everybody wants to help to democracy.
Alexei Talpiga of Kiev's Center for Conflict Studies is angry at what he sees as outside interference here, bolstering the opposition.
In these days, the West countries are trying to break the law, to make Ukraine, make the president the man who wasn't elected. So I think that today the West helps to destroy Ukraine and destroy the democracy.
The mood on the streets remains upbeat, though, and a ruling by the Supreme Court blocking the inauguration of Viktor Yanukovych until it considers claims of vote rigging has given the opposition crowds a major boost. Mr. Yushchenko and his team have called for a national strike and roadblocks, but even here in Kiev, some, like this bank worker, worry where such action is leading.
Reason has to prevail here. We need to order a recount of the ballot, then accept the results. If it is true more people voted for Yushchenko, then we'll see it. We have to live by the law. If we start striking and so on, things here could get right out of control.
A mini fireworks show marks a fourth night on the streets for the opposition. So far, the protests here have been remarkably orderly and calm. But following his visit, Lech Walesa confessed the solution to this deadlock remains unclear. He predicted the next 48 hours would be decisive.
Sarah Rainsford reporting. Well, Elmar Brok is the chairman of the European Parliament's Foreign Affairs Select Committee. He joins me on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Javier Solana going to Kiev today, you leading a delegation from the European Parliament next week. What do you hope to achieve?
I think, first of all, we have to avoid any violence. Secondly, this is in the long run only possible if a democratic result is accepted. And we know that the result which brought Yanukovych to the job as president is a falsified one because it was not met the standards for election of any international body, and that the Council of Europe, the OECD, the European Parliament delegation have seen that this result, which was officially published, is not the right one.
So what will you be calling for? A rerun? A whole rerun of the election?
No, I think first, I think there should be a recount and under international observation. And this gives perhaps a chance that in the time of 10-12 days, which gives the Ukrainian election law, to change the result as it and to have the result as it really is. And this might then give a chance in the preparation for that, that a proper compromise is there. You see, for example, Yanukovych is at the moment prime minister. He has a majority in the parliament, so that until the next parliamentary election, which date has to be set, we have both persons in power, one as president, one as prime minister, so we have a shared responsibility.
I don't know if you heard the commentator in that report making the point that the West's involvement in this way is helping to destroy democracy in the Ukraine?
People who falsify elections destroy democracy. That's the real point. But we have to see, and that it was probably someone more from eastern Ukraine, that this country is historically very much divided. It's divided by religion. And therefore, I think it's a very important point that we try to bring these two parts of the country together in order to avoid a breakdown of the country.
Do you think Viktor Yushchenko would accept some sort of deal that you're talking about, with one of them becoming prime minister, the other president?
I think so. I think both have to accept a compromise in order to avoid a breakdown of the country after such a hostile election campaign, which was not done under really democratic standards. And therefore, I think it's the best way that a certain compromise is found. But
Elmar
it
should
mean that the leader of opposition will become president, because he has, as Elmar, everyone observes, won the election.
We must leave it there. Elmar Brok, many thanks. Ukraine's opposition leader, Viktor Yushchenko, says he will only allow a few days for negotiations before he calls more of his supporters onto the streets. He insists there must be a rerun of Sunday's vote. It was one of the options that came out of yesterday's meeting between the two rivals for the presidency. That was mediated by the outgoing president, Leonard Kuchma, and European and Russian representatives. It's now been 6 days since thousands came onto the streets to protest the result, and they're still there, as our correspondent James Kumarasamy. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Sarah. Well, yes, as you can probably hear, the atmosphere here is still like something of a wintry Glastonbury festival. There are large numbers of people out, larger than there have been over the last few days here in the centre of Kiev. They are mainly, the ones here in the centre at least, supporters of Viktor Yushchenko, the opposition politician who is claiming victory in this election. Last night, the two victors met. They decided that they would continue talking in working groups, and they also said they would renounce violence. And here to discuss this, I'm joined by a supporter of either of the victors, by Natalia Partach, who's a journalist here from Kiev. She's a supporter of Viktor Yushchenko, the opposition politician, and by Alexei Talpuigo, who is a supporter, voted for Viktor Yanukovych, and he's a politologist here from Kiev. If I can start with you, Natalia, there seems a great deal of determination here. Mr. Yushchenko has said people, his supporters, should stay until victory. Is there still that determination?
Absolutely. People are still coming from the regions, because finally, after 10 years of the regime of Kuchma in power, people found the politician whom they can trust, and they trust him totally. Therefore, people are still coming. My mom has arrived this morning, and she's going to stay here as long as it is needed.
And you are confident that he will be declared the victor by the Supreme Court?
I'm not sure what would be the decision of the Supreme Court, but I'm sure that the right decision to that would reflect the will of power, the people's will for the president to be in power, would be defended, and people fully trust and fully believe in that.
Now, Alexei Talpuigo, you're not at all happy with what is happening at the moment, are you?
First of all, I should totally agree with my opponent, because she said that people totally believe Yushchenko. It is absolute truth. He made, let's say, 20% of Ukraine to believe him totally. Some more believe him more or less. And it is the most dangerous situation, because the most dangerous aspect of situation, because he really becomes now a fascist leader of Ukraine.
Can I ask you to respond to that, Natalia?
Absolutely. I want to say that, as Yushchenko says, and as everybody knows, it's not about Yushchenko himself. It's about the person who can defend the people's rights, people's freedoms. And people know that we want the freedom to be in this country. We want our rights to be defended by someone. And at this moment, Yushchenko becomes the figure who is going to do that.
Now, how do you think this situation is going to be played out? They are talking, but clearly there doesn't seem to be any sense of compromise at the moment. What do you think, Alexei Talpuigo?
I refuse from any commentaries. I don't know, really, in such situation. No, I refuse.
what do you think is going to happen in terms of the atmosphere on the streets? Is there a danger of violence? For the moment, there's no sign of it. People are being very pragmatic. Natalia, what's your impression?
I am sure that people in the streets, I'm just from there, people are happy. They're happy to be free from the scare, which was in their blood for years. Finally, they come in the streets, they greet each other, they say, I don't know, it's smiling everywhere. For those who were in Ukraine, they say that people sometimes are really gloomy, but not today. It's like festival in the streets. There is no anger at all. And I am sure that if not a Supreme Court, then there would be other legitimate ways to solve the problem. And the only good thing which is happening now is the civil society, which is being worked at the moment.
Okay, Natalia Partach and Alexei Talpuigo, thank you both very much. And from a wintry Kiev, where the atmosphere is still, as I say, that of a rock festival. Back to you in London.
James Kumarasamy, thank you. Well, joining us on the line and listening to that is the Ukrainian ambassador to the European Union, Roman Shpek. Good morning.
Good morning.
How do you think that Ukraine's problems are likely to be resolved?
I believe that, first of all, Ukraine, we are a very old nation, European nation, but very young democracy. It's a very strong test for our democracy right now. And I believe that our nation and both candidates, Yushchenko and Yanukovych, will find peaceful solution according to Ukrainian legislation.
A peaceful solution that would involve what? A rerun of the election?
It's a difficult question because only yesterday the working group was established, and I believe that today they will start a consultation. We are happy that EU and High Representative from European Union, Mr. Solana, and two presidents from Poland and Lithuania, together with the Chairman Russian Duma, visited Ukraine and discussed with Ukrainian authority current situation. And it's the biggest achievement that both candidates are ready to sit together and to negotiate.
But ultimately, though, there can only be one winner. There can only be one president. And he is not going to be acceptable to half the population. So can the country stay undivided?
But if a solution will be in a full commons with Ukrainian legislation, it doesn't matter who will win. The people need fair solution. The people need to know that solution is fair according to Ukrainian legislation. It's very important for one side, for Mr. Yushchenko's supporter, or for another side, for Mr. Yanukovych's supporter, that will be win one person. But the most important for Ukrainian nation that election was fair, and election, well, in full compliance with Ukrainian legislation.
Roman
and
Shpek,
if some of them sent applications to a Supreme Court, and we will have the Supreme Court decision, it means that another candidate must accept it. Or if both candidates will agree
to start re-election. Shpek, at which point we must leave it. Roman Shpek, many thanks.
The time is 10 to 9. The political machinations go on in the Ukraine. The government has lost a no-confidence vote. The courts are about to rule on whether the election was rigged, and a new election seems inevitable. Supporters of the opposition presidential candidate Viktor Yushchenko have said they will lift their blockade on government buildings. It is they who have forced the pace of change. People power, or the power of the mob, if you prefer. Our correspondent Mike Donkin has been looking at how the Orange Army, as it's known, is operating on the streets.
And still they come. Holes are drilled in the icy street and tent pegs hammered home. Firewood is flung onto a stack for the braziers that keep the protesters warm. And supply lorries are marshalled by men like Max, a computer engineer turned quartermaster.
Here are food and clothes. We unload it to our store, then we distribute it to the camp, We also feed people that are on the square.
It takes a lot of organizing, though. This is almost like a military operation you have here.
It's much more than military operation, because now on the square, I think it's about 150,000 people.
Information is a weapon. TV screens relay the latest political developments so that opposition supporters like Tatiana, who's deserted her office desk, effectively get their marching orders.
Every evening we come here and they tell us what's going to happen tomorrow. They tell us what the plan is. So last night they told us that today is the crucial revolutionary moment, that everybody has to show up, full mobilization of the people from Kyiv and from other regions.
Behind the front lines, there's further backup for the troops. Well, I'm walking off the streets now, up the stairs and into the warm of a huge office building that's been taken over. A lot of people tramping up ahead of me, because this really is one of the nerve centers where the organization of this movement is being carried out. Tanya, what have we actually got going on here?
Okay, people can rest here, can have some food, can go to bathroom, which is kind of important.
And if battle fatigue sets in, there's even a well-stocked pharmacy and a field hospital. Ludmila, you're one of the doctors. You've got your white coat, your stethoscope, but also an orange ribbon. What kind of cases have you been dealing with?
There was one person was with back pain, another person was with eye infection. There was a girl who was so tired. She was not sleeping for 3 days, so she just lost her consciousness, and so she provided her some medical help. They're pretty advanced here. They even make some simple surgery.
This is an upmarket Kyiv bistro above the crowds massed in the square, and it's a gathering place for the protest leaders to plot their next steps. They're sitting at the table next to me over a cup of coffee, endlessly on their mobile phones. Vladimir Zubenko is a famous poet and a political strategist, and he told me why this is a movement without a headquarters.
If we had only one headquarters, they would have easily crushed us. And besides, this is a revolution for people, not just in Kyiv, but all across Ukraine.
So the rallying calls still echo across the square. The Orange Army may have agreed to finally lift its siege of key government buildings, but its foot soldiers are no less defiant as they await the political maneuvers yet to come.